Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. This one is for the UFC 284 main event for the pound-for-pound belt. The lightweight champion is defending his belt for the first time, Islam Makhachev, against the pound-for-pound king, the featherweight champion, undisputed, Alexander Volkanovski. Before we continue with the show, I've got to give a shout-out to our new sponsors, All Citizens. So you can see this beautiful, comfortable shirt that I'm wearing right now. I started wearing All Citizens because most of the time when I'm jumping and moving around cage side, my shirts are ripping under the arms and buttons are popping off and stuff. I needed something that was a bit more comfortable, a bit breathable, and that's why I started getting the All Citizens shirts. And then I tried their underwear, and this is the game changer. Now, I promise you this is a pair that I've not worn, although I do have a pair on right now. Now, the reason I like these is because they've got this thing called a paradise pocket in the front. And the idea is that it keeps your junk separate from your thighs. The main benefit, honestly, in my opinion, is coupled with a groin guard, it keeps everything exactly where you need it. Of course, you know, it's going to make you more comfortable generally when you're out running, working out, etc., etc. But if you're a combat sports athlete, you want all your junk in the right place and right inside a cup when someone's kicking and punching at you is ideal. So get yourself a set of these underwear, Paradise Pocket. You're not going to regret it. The fabric is moisture wicking, quick drying. It is absolutely fantastic stuff. And as you can see, who doesn't want a pair of Skull and Crossbones pants? So to get a hold of some All Citizens products, go to allcitizens.com. If you use the code FULLREPTILE10, you'll get 10% off your whole order, so you can check it out. You'll thank me later. I know you're going to love this stuff. And if you're an international customer, so allcitizens.com for US customers. If you're an international customer, the link is in the description below. Click on it. Same code, FULLREPTILE10, will get you 10% off your whole order. And you will love it. Trust me. Okay, back to the analysis. Oh, what a fight this is going to be. What a fight this is going to be. Now, of course, Volkanovski's been holding the featherweight division down, just looking too fast and too powerful and just too composed for everybody, really. And then on the other side, we've had Makhachev that's kind of been in Khabib's shadows up until very recently, when all of a sudden he's emerged and he's just dominated his last few opponents in ways where, for me, it would send some fear through the rest of the division, because you're like, I mean, what he did to Charles Oliveira, I don't think many people would have been able to see that coming. It was just dominant. You know, his striking looked better. He looked mentally ready for it, which is an odd thing to say, I know, but when most of the time people are stepping in against a champion that's defending, that has been, you know, so lethal, there's a question in the back of their mind as to whether they're actually capable of doing it. The absolute self-belief that Islam Makhachev has got, and his belief that he is not only the lightweight champion but the pound-for-pound best fighter on the planet, it gives him this supreme mindset that is unrivaled, really, in mixed martial arts. One of the only people I think has got the same kind of self-belief is Volkanovski. And we've seen that in his last few fights, his performances. In his exclamations to the camera afterwards, you know, often in his recent fights, he's been straight away over to the camera talking about he's being disrespected and people aren't putting enough credit on his name, etc., etc. Like, so this is a mission for Volkanovski to prove himself as well. And you know, of course, if he's unsuccessful, he doesn't get the lightweight belt and he moves back down to featherweight. But the impact for Volkanovski is that then people will remove him from the pound-for-pound king position. And the reason that, in my opinion, he's going up to lightweight is because he wants to solidify that. And of course, he's got a very good chance of doing it, but he is also sacrificing some advantages that he has at featherweight by moving up. Now, of course, you know, most featherweights are taller than him anyway, but there's a difference between taller and being bigger. And Makhachev is definitely a bigger individual. You're not going to get Makhachev down at 145. It would just be far too much of a cut for him, and he would be a diminished version of himself. So it's Volkanovski that's taking the risk by moving up to lightweight to take on Makhachev. And, you know, part of the question of this is, what does Volkanovski look like at lightweight? Now, he's been a welterweight in his career. He's been a lightweight. He's obviously now moved down to featherweight. But his time at lightweight was a long time ago. It was early in his career, and if, of course, he was, you know, he was just as successful as he is now at lightweight. But the opposition was different, you know, and his body's changed since then as well. You even look at Volkanovski from his UFC debut. He looks very, very different now. He looks far more chiseled and conditioned for featherweight. So then what does he look like moving up a weight class? Does he look better because he's now not cutting that additional 10 pounds? Or, you know, does he look slower and sluggish? And does the championship rounds have a greater effect on him because he's carrying an additional 10 pounds? Now, I would argue that he's most likely going to look better. The reason why is because he's almost definitely walking around above 160 pounds anyway. So moving up a weight class is less about putting the weight on to get to that weight and less about, it's less about putting weight on to get to that weight class and more about not losing the amount that he has to get to featherweight. It does work against some people sometimes. Like, I remember Conor McGregor, you know, you look at McGregor featherweight and he looks like a feral animal on the scales. Then at lightweight, he still had a similar kind of energy, although it was a little bit diminished. But then you see him at welterweight and he's like rubbing his belly and I don't know. Sometimes there's a benefit in going through the process of making weight because it kind of tunes a fighter's mind into what's about to come. And Volkanovski putting himself through that weight class to get him, the weight cut, to get himself down to featherweight to then step in and fight a Max Holloway or a Brian Ortega. You know, the whole process is a battle. Making the weight, getting to the fight healthy and uninjured, and then, of course, taking on top flight champions and contenders. He might feel a little bit more comfortable this time around because he's not having to cut as much weight, but it also might leave him in a mindset where he's not quite as attuned as he needs to be. And against Makhachev, who could quite easily draw this one out and use his size and his wrestling advantages to really make Volkanovski work hard, or he could do what he did against Dan Hooker and just get his hands on him quick before he starts to sweat. Because, you know, the size and strength advantage Makhachev is most likely going to be assuming is on his side. Now, that is not an assumption I can make because, you know, I mean, Volkanovski was 230-something pounds as a rugby player. He's a very physical individual, and I would imagine that even at 155, he's going to feel very strong. And it might surprise Makhachev how strong he is. But when they're dry, and with Makhachev's grappling, with his wrestling, I do think he'll be able to take Volkanovski down. Holding him down will be the real question. Whether he can maintain control when it hits the floor, because, you know, Volkanovski's got a hell of a scramble on him. He moves very quickly. I mean, Chad Mendes took him down 3 times out of 4, but only managed to rack up 45 seconds of control. So, you know, if Makhachev takes him down 2-3 times in the first couple of rounds and he's only holding him down for 15 seconds, that's going to be discouraging for him. It's going to be... it kind of removes a safety net, really, because we've seen Makhachev improve with his striking, knowing full well that he's always got his wrestling to fall back upon. But if that's somewhat undermined by Volkanovski's ability to scramble back to his feet, then it might make Makhachev feel like, now I have to strike with this guy. And you know, Volkanovski's problematic for anybody in the striking range, not because there's anything hugely complex about what he's doing, but because he has a clear plan and he's very, very consistent with it. And, you know, you look at someone like Makhachev, who's, for me, his kicking game is the best part of his striking range. He still looks a little bit tense when it comes to boxing range. Like, even in the very, very opening exchanges with Charles Oliveira, you know, he lands that clean left hand on him. But the punches that he throws before that, there are, I don't know, I'm just reading it based off my instinct as a striker, and he looks a little bit stiff and a little bit kind of like it's not nearly as familiar for him as the wrestling range. You know, we saw that, you know, we've seen this with Kamaru Usman as well. Usman's striking has gotten so much better, but it's almost like he's got like 2 strikes before the composure starts to slip away. And of course that's something he's trying to improve. But if I'm looking at Makhachev as far as comfortability in ranges, I would say kicking range is far more comfortable for him than boxing range. And if you're against Alexander Volkanovski, and, you know, Volkanovski's got a 1-inch reach advantage, believe it or not, if you're Volkanovski, you know full well that you've got movement and speed on your side coming up into this weight class. I would imagine that he's going to look at Makhachev and feel like he's going to be moving in slow motion by comparison, you know, especially with someone like Max Holloway. We know how quick Holloway can be with those flurries, those striking exchanges. Makhachev's far more single power shot, big kick, high kick, front kick, throws a couple of punches and then another big kick. There's not the rate of striking that Volkanovski's got. And that might be a shock for Makhachev as well, especially if he's tried to take Volkanovski down a couple of times and Volkanovski's managed to get back to his feet. So ultimately, if I'm Volk, I've got to make the decision whether I want to deal with the kicking range of Makhachev or whether I want to get close enough to land my own strikes and potentially even get clinched and you know, then be dealing with takedowns early. Like, for me, Volk's going to start this one quite quick. He's going to be on his toes. He's going to be moving laterally. He's going to be working that lead leg of Makhachev as much as he can. And remember, this is southpaw v. orthodox. So Makhachev's going to feel further away than most other opponents. Like, Volkanovski, he's not really fought many southpaws in his career. Like, his first fight in the UFC against Yusuke, he was a southpaw. The other times he's faced people in a southpaw stance, it was Max Holloway in the first fight after he'd done damage to his lead leg. And then Ortega at times, because Ortega doesn't mind switching. But he still always looks more comfortable against orthodox fighters. Now, of course, this is he's known he's been fighting Makhachev for a while, so he's on a full training camp preparing for southpaws, which means that he will have done his due diligence, he will have brought southpaws in, he will have adapted parts of his game to suit southpaws, and you know, I feel like his game is very adaptable. Like, we do see Volkanovski switch in stance as well. But again, he always looks more comfortable orthodox than he does standing southpaw. But then if we look at the weapons that he's got as an orthodox fighter, they transfer quite nicely against a southpaw anyway. We have to adjust them slightly, of course, but he often leads with his right hand because it's his most powerful weapon. It's his most adaptable weapon as well. He can throw it very straight. He can step through with it. He can throw it over the top. He can come up the center and round the sides with it. Like, against Chad Mendes, he was stepping from orthodox into southpaw with a right uppercut. Against Holloway, he was slipping off to the side and catching him with a winging right hook as Holloway was moving forward. You know, against Korean Zombie, it was a pat, 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 straight punches, really straight, clean to the chin. So the adaptability of his right hand is very good, and that's going to be valuable because against a southpaw, he's going to have to use his right hand more to lead. His outside low kick, which we've seen him do damage with, will transfer really nicely to be an inside low kick, but you've got to aim for the knee because there's the potential to Anderson Silva, Chris Weidman yourself if Makhachev starts blocking those kicks. And we have seen him work in that skip inside kick against orthodox fighters, which will now become his calf kick against a southpaw. But the danger with that is it leaves him on the center line. And if we think back to what Makhachev did to Oliveira, it was Oliveira coming to Makhachev with a flying knee that put him on the end of that right hook. And something I've done the breakdown show about this as well. You can check out on the BT Sport YouTube channel. And I've talked about this before. The way that Makhachev strikes, the way that a lot of these guys that have got a Sambo background strike, they utilize the ridge hand a lot more. So the hook, the right hook that Makhachev lands against Holloway, it's a fully extended arm. And he's catching him with the inside of the glove here, right on the chin. Like, we've seen Khabib do this with the eagle punch where he's coming up under the chin against Tavares. Saeed Nurmagomedov uses ridge hands quite a lot and spinning back fist with the same kind of thing. You know, that's a striking weapon in a variety of different ways. JDS strikes with the inside, you know. We see people striking down with hammer fists or, of course, this way that we've been talking about with the ridge hand. The hand as a striking weapon is very, very diverse. And with different people coming into the sport from different areas of the world, we see influences. And I do feel like the position of this hook is very much an influence from the Sambo world. Something I'm going to do a bit more research into as well, because like from my experience, a lot of those striking hand striking positions were from Kung Fu. And there is a real crossover between Sambo and Kung Fu. There's a, you know, like Muslim Salikov, for example, the king of Kung Fu, you know. I'm going off on tangents here, but it's interesting the way that Makhachev strikes. And I do feel like even though there's a 1-inch reach advantage for Volkanovski, the reach can be negated if Makhachev is using those really long range strikes. I haven't done Taylor Tape, have I, Jamie? I forgot to do Taylor Tape. Let's do that now. 23-1 for the lightweight champion, 4 knockouts and 11 submissions. 3 rear naked chokes, 3 arm bars, 2 arm triangles, a kimura, a triangle, and an inverted triangle. Lots of submission options on the floor for Makhachev. Rear naked chokes are going to be problematic for Volkanovski because he's going to be scrambling so quickly. He's going to expose his back. You know, that's what we saw against Thiago Moises. Moises was trying to turn and get back to his feet and exposed his back, and that's where Makhachev was able to get the rear naked choke. The other thing as well is that, you know, the kimura that we saw him get on Dan Hooker, like, again, holding top position is going to be problematic, but if he can get clamped onto a limb, it's going to slow Volkanovski down because he's now going to have to really think about how he escapes. He's got to do it safely. Same thing with scrambling and trying to defend his back, but we have seen him do that over and over again, and he is very good at defending his back. Chad Mendes was on his back for a moment. Ortega came close a couple of times. And generally, the sub-defense of Volkanovski is good. You know, we saw him get out of that guillotine against Brian Ortega and the triangle, which was even deeper. I wonder whether he's going to feel that his submission defense is good enough to potentially clinch Makhachev when he shouldn't, or even follow him to the ground or try and take him to the ground himself. The one wild card that I keep coming back to is Volkanovski's guillotine. Because sometimes when he's defending takedowns, like he did against Darren Elkins against the fence, he does find the neck and he does consider a guillotine every now and then. And one consistent thing about Makhachev throughout his career is he has been tangled up a few times with his neck. You know, Chris Wade was on his neck, Nick Lentz was on his neck for a little while. You know, Davy Hamosh, I think, as well. There's a risk that he might underestimate Volkanovski's bite on a guillotine and put his head in a position where he feels like he's going to finish a takedown. And then you never know, Volkanovski bites on a guillotine and feels like he's got it and commits 100% to it. So that is the wild card for me. I do feel like there's an option there for Volkanovski to at least threaten with the guillotine and keep takedown attempts moving. What haven't I said? Volkanovski 25-1, 12 knockouts, 3 submissions. I'm not expecting Volkanovski to look for submissions necessarily, but if the guillotine's offered to him, I do think he might be tempted to, and Makhachev does leave his neck there. On the striking range, though, this is where the big questions are for me, because when it comes to wrestling, I feel like Makhachev is going to be able to take Volkanovski down. I wonder whether he's going to be able to hold him down and how many times he's going to have to take him down before he can keep him down. What submissions are available for Makhachev as Volkanovski scrambling back to his feet? And if he's persistent with the takedowns, what submission attempts might be an option for Volkanovski as a counter? For me, the grappling range is a bit more straightforward. And I feel like Makhachev is going to be able to score the takedowns. And I feel like Volkanovski is going to have the respect for his wrestling to really try and stay away from it as much as possible. Anti-clinch a lot. He uses that left forearm a lot of the time to brace people and hold them in close so he can strike them, but not close enough so they can body lock him. When it comes to the striking range, though, this is where I'm a bit more kind of... It could go either way. Because Volkanovski's got good movement, he's got fast hands, his rhythm is very good. He'll step in, he'll go ba-ba, 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 and he'll keep changing that rhythm and keep stepping in when you're expecting him to stop and move away. There's a real advantage that Volkanovski has with timing, and I do feel like he can fluster and frustrate Makhachev with that, moving through range very quickly. But if Makhachev can discourage him moving through range by being ready with a knee up the center line like he did against Davy Hamosh, you know, clinched him and kneed him up the center line, or just keep clinching him and trying to trip him, it might discourage Volkanovski's confidence when it comes to forward momentum. So then Makhachev is able to take over with his kicking game, and this is really where I can see him doing the most damage. Because, you know, you look at what he did to Thiago Moises, kick into the body, kick into the head, same thing against Nick Lentz, working different targets with his left leg and fighting at a steady pace where, if, you know, he can kick them, if they step in, he's going to punch and then clinch and take them down. That cycle for Makhachev would probably be the best game plan against Volkanovski. And with that game plan, it doesn't really matter if Volkanovski is moving too much. It doesn't really matter if he's blocking that left body kick as well, because he's going to be taking it on his left forearm, and that's going to slow that punch down. So ultimately, if I'm Volkanovski, I've got to make that decision of how I want to deal with the striking range. I don't really want to be on the ends of his kicks, but I don't want to be too close and get clinched and kneed and taken down. And if I'm Makhachev, I don't want to allow Volkanovski to move in and out of range with his fast range striking and his changing of pace. I want to try and slow that down as much as I can and discourage him from doing it. And, you know, we might see some clinch against the fence. We might see some battles in the clinch up against the fence. But again, I circle back to Makhachev having the advantage in those ranges. Trips, reaps, haraigoshis, uchimatas, anything that he can use to destabilize Volkanovski with an overhook is going to be problems all day for Volkanovski. So it might be difficult for Volk to get close enough to him to land without getting too close. And I think that, you know, when we talk about, Abdulmanap Nurmagomedov, the impression that I get when I listen to Javier Mendez coach and to Khabib coach is that was the point. That was the plan. That was father's plan, is to make them so afraid of the wrestling that they stand and strike with you and underestimate your striking. And it's almost like Khabib's career as a dominant ground and pound wrestler has set the stage for people to be already afraid of Makhachev's wrestling and ground and pound. So he has less work to do to reestablish that fear. It's almost like Khabib did some of the work for him. But Makhachev is definitely a better striker than Khabib, I would say. Just all round, he's more dynamic, more technical. And we saw improvements in his fight against Oliveira, probably based on the fact that he was expecting pressure from Oliveira, so he knew that he was going to have to use hands over kicks. He might be expecting the same thing from Volk. And if that's the case, we might have an improvement in his striking range with his hands as well. Very exciting, this fight. It's an interesting matchup. And I wish they would be doing more to promote this than the other stuff they're promoting on the UFC Instagram. But I'm sure you all feel me and you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is where the real sport's at. We know this. This is going to be a great fight. Enjoy this. Enjoy the rest of the card. Check out the other war room on the co-main event, Yair Rodriguez against Josh Emmett. And I'll see you next time.